Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Everybody, it's The Voice, and I am live on location at Distill Brewery, our fantastic sponsor. What's up?
Oh, it doesn't look like it's recording.
Oh, it's not yet, because we aren't doing the chug yet.
Oh.
But we will. Don't you worry, big guy. We'll get you chugging. I am here at Distill. I lied last time, a couple weeks ago, and said this was going to be the last episode. Turns out I was wrong. We are joined today by a few members of the band Dance Gavin Dance. They're playing at the Castle Theater tonight. And also from one of the Distill crew, Mr. Nick, who was unable to join us last time. He's making up for it and joining us today. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves and say what your role in the band is.
My name is Matt Mingus, and I play drums and percussion.
I'm John, and I do the vocals, the screaming ones.
I was going to say, which kind of vocals?
Yeah, right.
Will, and I play guitar.
All right. And, like I said, we're at Distill. We're sponsored by Distill. And Distill Brewery was founded in Bloomington, Illinois, and has been boycotting Bland since 2013. Their hard work and craftsmanship has led to a wide array of beers that are anything but bland. From the Wild Sour line to the barrel-aged St. Decara series, Distill's award-winning beers include something for everyone, with options like Weisenheimer, Vertex IPA, Syncopathic, and Dos Vidania. Distill doesn't disappoint. So we here at Drunken Lullabies encourage you to boycott Bland alongside us. Support flavor, drink Distill. All right, and for all you drunkomaniacs at home, the drinking game is in effect for you. So anytime somebody swears, anytime somebody makes a pop culture reference or does an impression, anytime there is an audible expulsion of gas, and anytime the word of the day is said, you have to take a drink. And the word of the day, we'll just make it dance, because I have a feeling that'll get said a few times if we mention the band. The word of the day is dance. You're welcome. All right, well, now it's time for that other game that we like to play here on the show. I'm talking about Spin the Bottle.
Beer makes us fired up, so come on, drink it all night long. Slam it, girl. 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 Where's the marching band at? Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Don't drum dial, no. Pound that beer. Pound that beer.
All right, and we are back, and Mr. Will is going to be chugging today. Our chug beer, can you hold that up for the video here? It is the Light Rail from Iron Spike. Iron Spike is our sponsor for Spin the Bottle. We only chug their amazing beers out of Galesburg, Illinois. And you, my friend, are in for a treat, so all right. Pound that beer.
This is a classic chug, too.
Okay, straight out of the can.
Pinky out.
Chug, chug, chug. Uh-oh.
Give it on you.
Nicely done.
There you go. Super refreshing after some Panda Express. There you go. Audible expulsion of gas. Always happens after the chug. All right, well, now it's time for us to drink.
Yes.
You know, we get the chug out of the way. Now everybody can participate. And this is one of my favorites, which we've featured on the show more than a few times, but I am always more than happy to drink it again. This is the Deadhead Red, the Imperial Red IPA. Why don't you guys pour some of that and pass it all around? Nick, tell us a little bit about this beer.
This beer, it's really good as far as like red IPAs go, because that can be kind of a tricky territory. You get some that are maybe a little bit too bitter and just malt forward, which is fine. I mean, that's what the style is. It's very malt forward, being a red. But you also get that split too sometimes, where you get a red IPA that's maybe a little more fruity or citrusy, and that's kind of like what we have here. So it all just kind of comes down to hop selection, and even the malt bill too can have a major effect on the flavor. But like the Deadhead is just, it's so awesome because it is malty, but it's also still fruity, citrusy. So it's kind of it's a more approachable red IPA. Like if it's a style that somebody's never had before, I would say this would be a good place to start, just because of the flavor profile.
Well, and it's also a good place to start because it's 9.4%.
and that too. Like, yes.
You're definitely getting a lot for your, yeah.
And this retails, I believe, around like $4.99.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I was going to say, for what you're getting, like the price, the flavor of the beer, and of course, the ABV.
And it's not as hoppy as most IPAs.
Right. It's just very approachable.
It actually, absolutely. It says it's a psychedelic hoppy and fruity aromas swirling within a rich body. It has full flavors of biscuit, toasted, and caramel malt that are interwoven with abundant American hop flavor and bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this has been one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's so
awesome. It was a brew or a restaurant brew pub exclusive,
right.
Just available on draft for a long time.
Yep.
And they just started bottling it last year, which I was totally stoked about because now I can keep it in my fridge at all times.
Exactly.
And there's more in there, so feel free to empty it out because we can't take it with us.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorites that we do. And again, based off the flavor, like it's malty like a red should be, but it's also it's like that fruitiness and just it's so awesome.
And hopefully you guys enjoy it because it sounds like you've got some to take back with you for after the show, thanks to Distill.
Yeah, this is way more drinkable than I thought it was going to be after you, especially the percentage.
Right, and again, that too, right?
Yeah. If I didn't know that, I'd just be selling these.
Don't drink too much of it before you guys go on. Unless that's how you guys play, but I think you're professionals. You save that for after the fact.
Right, it's the after.
You have a driver, so it's all good.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll do this now and then probably go back and take a nap.
There you go.
But it is amazing, though, because you get a lot of beers like that that are in between like 9 and 10%, which is, that's getting up there. And a lot of beers, it's hard to like hide, you know, like the alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you get higher ABV beers like that and it really shows, whereas this, obviously, it just doesn't. So... Mm-hmm. Kind of another bonus.
So you guys, you're in town, you're on tour right now. Tell us a little bit about the tour that you guys are doing.
It's DGD Chon.
You just totally cheated them out of two drinks.
Oh wait, dance, fuck, yeah, baby, oh, behave. That's three right there.
That is three. Good. Well played.
But, we're on tour right now with Chon, Idola, and Vasudeva, and it's pretty fun so far. This is only the fourth show.
Okay.
But we're dialing in. You know, it takes a couple days to get into the swing of things and get everything, like, worked out. But it's starting to flow more naturally now. Tonight should be probably the greatest show of all time.
Yeah, and the Drunken Maniacs right now, if you're listening, the show already happened. So unless you are Marty McFly and have a DeLorean in your garage, you're not going to be able to see it. Hope you were there. Sorry if you weren't. You know, check the dates. How long is the tour running for?
It's a shorter tour. It's 3 weeks long, so we got just a little over 2 weeks left.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe you can still catch them in your neck of the woods. I mean, we have Drunken Maniacs all across the country. So check the dates. Go to their Facebook page and find out where they are with Chon and the guys. And, yeah, definitely going to be a good time. Well, as we finish enjoying this Deadhead Red, I figure we should let you hear what the band sounds like if you're not familiar with them. I think most people listening to this probably are familiar, some of your fans may be checking the show out just because you guys are on it, which that's fantastic. Welcome to the party, guys. The first song we're going to play, it was the lead single off the last album, Mothership, which was one of my favorite records of last year, released on Rise. And it's called Betrayed by the Game. Now, you guys did a video for this that I can only describe it as... What the fuck? What is that green stuff that is in the pastries that you guys are dishing out to the patrons of this uh, this little bakery, I guess.
We were told it was protein powder.
Okay.
Mixed with some sort of food coloring, nice. I think. Yeah.
It looked gross.
Yeah, some of the I think it was the child or the kid, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember how old he was, 11 or something. He was, you know, swallowing a lot of it.
Mm.
And they had to make sure, you know. Or they kept emphasizing.
I mean, it was all over his face. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's dead now.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw that little kid in like a... It was like a Walmart commercial or something, or a Walgreens commercial. Yeah.
And oddly enough, they were smearing green shit all over his face on that, too.
Like, huh,
that's
still,
just his thing.
Doing that. Okay.
Yeah, he's totally typecast now.
Right.
So, all right, well, look for the video. I will share it on the Facebook page as I do with all our bands of the week. You definitely need to see to get the full reference. So, we're going to finish the Deadhead Red here at Distill, and you're now going to hear Dance Gavin Dance with Betrayed by the Game here on Drunken Lullabies. Hope you enjoyed that little song break. It's time for us to drink a little more. We are going to the Wild Sour series, and this is the Flanders Red, which is a 6.1%, so still, we're not necessarily taking it easy on you, but your guys' reactions to this one, I'm curious to see.
Right.
I'm not sure how familiar you are with sour beers. But they definitely earn the name Wild Sour. Nick, tell us a little bit about this one.
Yeah, I mean, the Flanders, this is one of my more favorite sours that we do in the Wild Sour series, just because of its maltiness. I think it's kind of a nice addition to the sour aspect of the beer. It's kind of our take on a traditional Belgian red or Belgian Flanders. But again, this one, kind of like the Deadhead, like obviously very malt forward. That's one of the dominating characteristics in this beer. So you get sort of like a, almost a sweetness. Some people even say like with this style you get some fruitiness depending. Like, but again, perceptive. What I may perceive as fruity or malty, somebody may perceive differently.
Yeah, this one, I always get a bready aftertaste.
I got a bready aftertaste.
But again, sure. And that's another kind nice characteristic too. Yeah, like on the back end, it's like a bready or biscuity sort of finish, which is nice because it kind of brings it all together.
Yeah,
I like to listen. I like to hear the whole spiel and then try it.
But it's kind of nice because you get all that sour and sort of like nice malty character up front, and it finishes sort of bready or biscuity, and it's really nice.
Here's
like sour stuff, like sour
candy. Yeah,
exactly. For me, I've pretty shot taste buds. So the like high intense flavor, something about it, like I really enjoy it.
It'll jump out at you. Yeah, the Flanders Red is an acidic sour ale with an initial impression of tart cherries and sour candy that dissipates into a complex palate, displaying both a sharp lactic sourness with a backbone of caramel and biscuit malt profiles and minimal hop character. There's only 15 IBUs in this beer. The dry, wine-like finish accentuates the complex malt profile and bright fruit notes showcased in this brilliant red-colored interpretation of a Belgian-style Flanders. Like I said, 6.1%.
Yeah,
and it's one of the stronger in the Wild Sour series.
And it's one that people like just because of the maltiness too. It's kind of it's a nice.
Yeah, it's got a great flavor. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. They're not for everybody,
right? Exactly.
We've definitely had some people try this ours for the first time, and they're like, "Oh, okay." And you know, it's well known to our regular listeners. Sours took me 2 years to get into.
Oh, yeah.
This was the first sour I ever tried. I wasn't ready for it. And I bought like a 4-pack of it, and it sat in my fridge, I think, for almost a full year before I finished it. I kept going back every few months.
Right, it's
and
like
I'm like,
testing the water.
Okay, it's time for my quarterly sour. Right. Nope, still not ready yet. And eventually I tried a few other sours aside from the Flanders, and something snapped, and it just clicked, and I was like, oh, yeah, I think I like sours now, and I wanted as many of them as I could get.
Well, that's how it was for me, too. Like, starting here, I was not versed in sour beers at all. Mm-hmm. So, like, and again, it is, like, even for me, it was an acquired taste. Like,
for sure.
They're okay, but, you know, and then you just, the more you learn about them and the more you're just around them, you just begin to appreciate them, and yeah, there's so many out there, and it's such a great style, so.
Yeah, it's just a nice change of pace, too, because I've never really experimented with sours, this is kind of like a first.
What have you experimented with? Let's get into it. Let's dish.
Beer. Love it.
First taste. Oh, behave. Sorry, that's my go-to drinking celebrity impersonation.
Let's change for the shot here.
Now, you know, I did just kind of mention it, but like what beers are typically your go-to when you guys are at home? You're from California.
For me, as of lately, I just moved down the street from a pretty cool brewery called Track 7.
Okay.
And they have lots of good selections. So if I'm going to go the craft beer route, I'll go down there and see what they have going that you can buy for the week, you know, because they do different beer every week.
Right, it alternates.
You can take home. But my go-to, honestly, is PBR and Stella.
Okay.
Those are my two go-tos.
Depending upon where I am, PBR is usually my best option.
Right.
At certain venues.
Yeah.
You know, that don't have craft beer. It's like if I can get a $2 pounder PBR, I'm going to drink that the whole night. So I'm not a snob. I have a craft beer podcast. I also have a budget, you know.
Right, yeah,
I like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, especially if you're like at a show or something, because it's a heavier beer and you don't have to keep going back to the bar. You could just get a nice big beer and sip on it for a while and maybe have to do one or two trips. Yep. But like when I have like Coors or something light, then I'm just drinking it like water.
It's more like a session IPA.
Yeah, so, and then waiting in lines, and that sucks. So I like a nice heavy beer for a show.
Also leads to more bathroom breaks, which is standing in line even more.
True. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Well, I just push my way in front. You know, you just have to, you know, big dick it sometimes.
There you go.
How about you, John?
Usually just lager, light beer.
Okay.
PBR. Actually, I do like Mickey's. somehow got into drinking Mickey's malt liquor. I don't know.
Do you like? You just like the mascot, logo?
I think it was more so like you drink 8 PBRs or something, and then you, if you just drink 4 Mickey's, it's 6%. So
right, I gotcha.
It's really light.
Basic math, right?
Yeah.
Well, we have other shows on the FCF network, which we are a part of, the Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network. And one of the other shows on the network is called The Song Inside and Out. And it's where the podcasting god, Blake Clayton, sits down with an artist and they take a song and dissect it completely, line by line. So we're going to take a minute here and play a promo for the song Inside and Out.
Ever wonder what inspired a songwriter to pen your favorite song? How did they come up with that cool chord progression? Or even how they got into playing music in the first place? Join the podcasting god,
Amen,
Blake Clayton, as he talks to the prolific songwriters in roots music to talk about the song Inside and Out. Join us every other Tuesday at fcfnetwork.com for the song Inside and Out. Also available on iTunes.
And now we're going to drink more. All right. So this is the Cerise, which during our tour was mentioned. You can find that video on the Drunken Lullabies podcast Facebook page. I recorded a little bit of the tour that Jeremy gave the band and I. So check that out if you want to hear a little bit more. But the Cerise, Nick. Tell them what they're in for.
It's awesome. So this is one of my favorites that we do. It's a Belgian-style stout, which is a little bit different because we use Belgian yeast, so it gives it a little bit of funk. So it's a darker, roastier beer, but it's also got some Belgian funk going on, kind of like our Abbey.
You like the funk, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Who doesn't like funk?
Right.
Yeah.
And then this beer is aged in bourbon barrels with cherries, too. So this, I mean, there's a lot going on there with... So the roastiness and the Belgian yeast funk, awesome bourbon character, especially this current batch that we just did has really, really awesome barrel character to it. And then, of course, the cherries, too, are just kind of a nice addition, not only to the roastiness in the beer, but the Belgian yeast funk, too. So
see that on the label.
Yeah.
I love the label, by the way.
That designed by Jeremy.
Yes.
Jeremy does all the label art. He does a fantastic job.
So that's what I mean. Like, with this beer, this is a beer that you really just got to, like, kind of chill with it, sit with it, and really just kind of take in all the flavors, like, because there's a lot
there is on. There's a lot like, going on.
It's definitely complex, but it's such an awesome beer. Like,
And this was bottled 5 days ago.
Yeah.
Wow. This is fresh.
Yes.
Awesome. I see the 11% on this.
Yes. It is 11%.
Cheers.
Cheers. There you go.
Cheers.
It is a totally radical chocolate-like aroma, masks subtle notes of cherries and oak as a prelude to amped-up flavors of rich, bitter, dark chocolate malt combined with tart cherries and oak tannins that most definitely electrify this Belgian-style imperial stout's smooth, silky body and bone-dry finish. 11%.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bottled 223.17.
Yeah, and then right
and
up
there's
front,
a little bit more in
all that
for
barrel character, like
anybody
right off
more.
Of that. But then
it's like
kind
a
of
dessert.
Yeah, it is exactly, and that's what I mean. Like, I love beers like that that are complex that you just really got to hang with them and like you know.
You would drink this whole bottle by yourself,
right.
But you're gonna pour it in your snifter, and it's gonna take you an hour and a half to finish it. And as it warms up, it develops a lot more characteristics that you don't taste when it's initially fresh out of the fridge. That's why when we drink stouts on the show, we'll let them sit, acclimate a little bit, and, you know, the bottle's starting to perspire. You know it's getting ready.
Oh, even with like, pale ales and IPAs, I do the same thing at home, because I love IPAs, pale ales, and, I keep all my fridges at, like, about 40 degrees, so I'll take my beer out, let it sit for, like, at least 5-8 minutes, and even beers like that, like as they warm up, oh my god, there's so much more going on. Like,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
cool. Is there kind of a coffee flavor?
I mean,
like
I
a bean for dark.
There might, I mean, just from the roastiness,
yeah, the roast,
maybe something I think nice
more so
up.
The roasty.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing that I like the most about this, because like I've had a bunch of dark beers and they all kind of taste the same, but this one has such like a upfront chocolatey, roasty flavor that it sets itself like apart. You know? Yeah, it's really good.
Cerise is awesome. It's one of my favorites. It's like a brewery favorite. Everybody loves it. It's
definitely
so
pick up some of the bourbon.
Yeah. Oh
from
yeah.
The barrel.
Yeah. This current batch that we did that we just bottled. Yeah, it has such an awesome barrel character to it.
Yeah, it's great.
And really one that you could even age, too. Like, that would be one you could definitely sit on for a little bit. Right.
Some of the flavors might disappear a little bit, but...
Right, you wouldn't want to sit on it too long, but, you know, like, you could get a bottle of that, or get two bottles, whatever, let one maybe sit for, like, 6 months, see what it does, like, so...
Right, right.
Interesting.
Well, something that I would like to have all the listeners enjoy is some more Dance Gavin Dance music. That's, you know, I would love for them to go out and find the Cerise, but the thing is they didn't know we were drinking that until just now. So that means they're going to have to, like, pause, drive to the liquor store, come back. That's just not practical. Like, just drink what you're drinking at home.
Right.
But seek this out later. But the next song we're going to play is a track called Deception, and I would like to see if you guys have anything to say about that track. Before we play it,
Deception.
I'm speechless.
I mean, we didn't really get into Betrayed by the Game either. We just talked about the video. I want to let you know, like, your guitar work on that song is fantastic. I love the way you play, and just, you know, you shred.
I try to, like,
I'm a drum guy, so if I notice a guitar riff, that's something for me, you know.
Saying something, right?
Yeah,
I'm a rhythm section guy, you know.
Right. Yeah, Deception. That's one of my favorite songs off Mothership, probably, and it doesn't have too much of a backstory other than this record in general. We just wanted to make sure there was a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And while writing it, I thought Deception was one of the songs that was like a good throwback to where we've already been, and like kind of like trying to get all there as a DGD and put into the song. So if you haven't heard old DGD and want to check out the new record and want to hear like kind of something that encompasses our sound from what we've done to where we are now, Deception's a great song to check out.
Yeah. And just for you listeners at home, DGD is short for Dance Gavin Dance.
That's a lot.
Two drinks,
lest we forget.
Yes, I just want people to be aware. All right, so you heard it from Will. This is Deception from Dance Gavin Dance here on Drunken Lullabies. was Deception, and I'm not going to be deceptive. We're drinking another beer from Distill. It's another Wild Sour, and this one is not going to be as shocking. It's definitely sour, but I think it's about the smoothest in the Wild Sour line. I'm talking about the Plum Sour Stout. If I were to recommend any of the Wild Sour line for somebody who's not familiar with sours, this would be the one I would give them. It's not going to smack you in the face nearly as hard as some of the other ones, but who knows, maybe you like it rough. Maybe you want to be smacked in the face. I don't know what your proclivities are.
Annie Lennox said a lot of things.
Yeah. So this is the Plum Sour Stout. Nick, give us a little breakdown of this.
Yeah, one. Plum Sour Stout. Like Dustin said, if you're not familiar with sour beers or our Wild Sour series, like that would be the one I would tell you to start with. And it is, like, we just started canning it. It is my favorite beer that we do in that whole series. And it's because of how, again, like the Cerise, there's so much going on with it. Like, it's a sour stout. Like, that in and of itself is, you know, not... It is a done style. I mean, a lot of people do that style, but again, it's not one that maybe people are familiar with. Mm. But it's also fruited too, because it has plum in it. So, totally like roasty and just like fruity right up front with sourness, and just kind of ends like roasty and chocolatey. Like, it's such a good beer. There's so much, and to me, like, it seems kind of like a strange pairing, like with the roastiness being a stout and then the plum too, the fruit addition. But
yeah, I couldn't say that.
Like plum. They pair so nicely, and like the sourness complements the plum. Ooh, and yeah. Just yeah, it's there's a yeah, it's that's it's good. A very really yeah. Nice. Like the Cerise complex. Yeah. There's a lot going on. You got to kind of hang with it, but it's so good. So this to me is one that I recommend to everybody. And I've had people that I know that have never had any kind of sour beer, like they're not really familiar with our stuff. I'm like, all right, just try this, and they're like, oh my god.
Yeah,
I'd say get this in for a beginner. Yeah. It's not as yeah. Punchy right
yeah.
In the face.
Yeah, and exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a good one to ease you in. Yeah.
Right
on the sours. Yeah. It says the Plum Sour Stout rebels against style boundaries as it opens with a bold fusion of fruitiness and chocolatey roast. Dark fruit flavors then take hold, evoking memories of plum jam and chocolate-covered cherries to bring everything into balance. The result is a light-bodied and refreshingly tart stout as just plum sour. It is 5.6%, so not as strong as the Flanders Red, but, I mean,
still
0.4%
yeah,
less.
Yeah, yeah. Still, you know, it's up there. Like,
it'll get you drunk.
Right. It'll get the job done.
I think so.
No, this is my favorite in the Wild Sour series, just because of how complex. There's just so much.
See, the Syncopathic is my favorite, but I'm a hophead.
We have Goza, Flanders, Plum Sour Stout, Syncopathic.
Counterclockwise.
Lynbrook.
You have the Blueberry.
Blueberry Goza.
And that's then, seasonal. Well, right. So is the Lynbrook.
Right. Well, yes, exactly right. Lynbrook seasonal.
Yeah, there's Flanders a couple. Seasonal. There's some that are available year-round. Right. And then there's others that are seasonal that it's like, oh, it's Lynbrook season. I'm going to see the pink can right. On the shelf. And
but essentially, I mean, these are the beers that put us on the map for our Wild Sour beers. Because, yeah, I mean, there's a demand for them. People love them.
And you guys, know? I mean,
I've never had anything like them.
We were talking on the tour how you said sours are you know, very popular now.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
just started Distill was kind of ahead of the curve right. On that. I mean, they were doing these Wild Sours before that whole sour craze took hold.
Yeah, because these are actually good, though. Like, yeah. Because I've been to, like, yeah. In Portland, like, people taking us to bars, and it's like, what are you drinking, this sour? And I try it, and I'm like, good God, that's awful. But these are great. Like, it's changing my opinion on sours, because yeah. I kind of wrote awesome. Them off, and it's like, whoa, this is
no, you just need to drink. Good. You just need to drink better ones.
Right, gotta have the right
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to play another song because that's what we do on this show. Like I said, we're hanging out with the band, Dance Gavin Dance. And, well, how did that name come about? Let's get into that.
Well, we had a show and we didn't have a name. So we whittled it down to two different band names, one being Dance Gavin Dance and the other was Green Monroe.
I think.
I can't even remember it now.
It's so long ago.
It's basically two mediocre.
It was the lesser of two evils.
You're like, oh, boy.
It was like the recent election. It was just like, fuck, man. We need to choose one.
I guess we'll choose something.
It's the deadline's coming up.
None of the above.
Right. Well,
I guess we'll choose Dance Gavin Dance. And that's what we chose. But I like it because it's not so. Take yourself seriously.
Yeah,
this scene's full of bands that are like,
and you can turn it into
trying to
an
be the
acronym,
deepest,
which is what half the bands do anyway.
DGD, right? You know, referred to ourselves as now.
I ran a record store for a decade, and we didn't have a POS system, so we had to write down everything that people bought. So that really made shoplifters. It pissed me off because it's like, if you're gonna steal, let me know what you're stealing so I can reorder it. Because that would happen. Somebody'd be like,
"System,
do you have this in stock?" And I'm like, "Yeah, we have it." And I'd go to the spot because I knew everything in the store because I did all the ordering. And I'd be like, "Oh, it's not here now. Well, that means either one of my employees didn't write it down or somebody stole it. Let me get that back in stock for you." So on our order sheets, I would do nothing but acronyms. So unless you were well-versed in the scene and knew what my chicken scratch meant, like if you saw DGD, it's like, you know, that's Dance Gavin Dance, but if you have no idea what these things, you know, ADTR, you know. That it was just filled up with
DDG.
That.
DDG. Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yes. Ooh, and then you got DFD, Dog Fashion Disco.
Oh,
so if you're into weird music. But I am into weird music. But the next song we're going to play is Young Robot. And can you guys tell us anything about that track before we get into it here?
Young Robot, he had a lot of troubles. And he's trying to work them out.
Tale is all
the prequel.
Yeah.
If you, there's an animated video for it.
Yep.
And you can see the, I guess, how the story is being connected with the past few videos. Gives a little insight into the, I guess, the different alternate timelines that we're kind of, I guess we're making it up as we go. But there's a little bit of endgame story that we have worked out. But yeah.
And my girlfriend plays the flute at the beginning.
Nice.
Yeah, so it starts out with just me and my girlfriend. We like to at home play play back to back. Like I put we put go back to back and we play the guitar.
Does she like does she do like the stand on one leg and do the Jethro Tull style?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, Jethro Tull's like her idol. No, just I'm
just kidding, but not at all.
She did play on the flute on it.
Did she get paid?
No.
You should give her some beer then.
Well, we'll wrote something. We'll the part.
She's allergic to gluten.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So she just drinks ciders and stuff?
Liquor.
I've seen gluten-free beers.
Hard liquor.
There are. They just don't taste right.
No, they don't
taste good.
Yeah, she's Irish, so it's okay. She can just drink liquor.
There you go.
Nice. All
right.
Four fifths a day.
Well, we don't condone alcoholism on Drunken Lullabies, but hey, you do what you got to do if you're on.
Yeah. It's okay if you follow every shot with a glass of water.
There you go. All right. Well, on that note, here's Young Robot by Dance Gavin Dance here on Drunken Lullabies.
It's been a long time coming, been a long time. look so pathetic. I can't stop with the rhythm of it. Drink that love, it's like a habit. Feeling like a savage. You know I gotta have it. I gotta have it all.
Well, what's your dream, mistress?
I gotta have it all.
They call me hedonistic.
Can't stop with the rhythm, gotta have it all.
I'll make them kiss me sisters.
I gotta have it all. So pathetic, I can't stop with the rhythm of it. Drink that love, it's like a habit. Feeling like a savage, you know I gotta have it. I gotta have it all.
And we're back. That was the third song from Dance Gavin Dance off of the album Mothership on Rise Records. Go out and buy it. I don't know why you haven't already. You should. It was one of my top albums of 2016. You guys working on any new stuff?
Actually, kind of, yeah.
We got something planned, something special.
We have some cool plans coming up, but we just can't talk about them yet.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll allow it.
The first rule of Fight Club.
All right, well, we're going to drink another
beer.
That
was two drinks. That was an impression.
That was a Fight Club reference. All right, so pass this around. We're going to stray from distill. We did sponsor spotlight without doing sponsor spotlight. I normally do a sponsor spotlight, and we do a drop, and Boogie Down Productions comes on and does a little thing, and the whole episode's been distill, so I didn't do that, and I apologize, but we read the ad, and everybody knows we're at distill, and we're loving the beers, but we're going to drink something from Half Acre out of Chicago, which is another one of my favorite Illinois breweries, and this is the Gone Away, and Gone Away is a Western-charged firecracker. We conjured the classics and then laid them on a bed of pale malt. This IPA shoots straight to the bitter edge before falling into a mellow haze, deep gold and ready to travel the distance. It's 6.6%. This is one of, I won't say it's my go-to beer from Half Acre, because Daisy Cutter is my go-to. Yeah. Daisy Cutter is fucking delicious. But Gone Away is, it's a pretty solid, we didn't spill any, it's a tall can.
Fuck.
And it was towards the bottom. So this is Gone Away.
And this is the last, how appropriate, the last drink's called.
It is, Gone Away, and the beers have gone away after this. All right, bottoms up, bitches.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
I want the listeners to know, we've been drinking what I will call sample sizes. We've been splitting single cans. We've been splitting bottles between the five of us. I have not been getting these fellows intoxicated too much.
Except for me, I've been doing all kegs.
He did chug. He did chug.
He's really intoxicated.
But they have a show, and they're professionals, and I don't want anybody listening to think that I'm impairing their ability to give a kick-ass performance later tonight. There are three bands performing before them, and the doors haven't even opened yet.
Right. That's
so you guys are going to be stone cold sober.
That's enough time.
Sure. Unless you get into that box of beer that Distill just gave you.
No, this is for after.
That's for after.
I know you had to say that for liability, so that when the news report comes out, DGD drunkenly burns down, then it's not your guys' fault. Yeah.
So yes, this is the Gone Away from Half Acre. They're a brewery that before I could only get their beer in Chicago, but they recently got new distribution to Central Illinois, so now I can pick it up in Bloomington. I can pick it up in Peoria, which is fantastic, because there's still some Chicago beers I have to drive to Bloomington to get. Pipeworks. What's the deal, Pipeworks? Why don't you come to Peoria? Are we not good enough for you? My girlfriend doesn't work in Bloomington anymore, and it was really convenient when she worked right up the road from Benny's and could get it on her way home, but now it's 45 minutes away, and I can't justify driving 45 minutes away once a week to get fresh beer. I'm sorry, I can't. So Pipeworks, get your shit together and get distribution to Peoria. I know distribution's just a guy in a van driving down to Bloomington. Why can't he drive a little bit further and go to Peoria?
Practically on the way.
It is. Come on. Am I asking too much? And Three Floyds, I know you don't distribute anywhere down here, so I can't attack them, but...
I mean, I buy so much Pipeworks.
It's Benny, their beer
I literally
is so good.
Want to start putting and stock they, in they,
it. Has it,
they're, never had it.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I've got a Pipeworks beer, by the way.
Oh, do you now?
Just so happens.
Have they opened their tap room yet?
Yeah, it is open. It's just right now. It's just a bottle shop, and it opened December 29th.
Okay,
so it's called the Dojo, and it's in their production.
Yeah, because before you could only get their beer at retailers.
Right.
They did not have a brewery that you could go tour and pick stuff up. But they've been working on that, and I haven't been to it yet.
Yeah, so. I'm planning a trip this spring. I want to go up to see Buckle Down Brewing in Lyons, which is like practically right down the road from them.
I've drank my fair share of their beer.
Yeah, and then go check out Pipeworks and their bottle shop, the Dojo.
Okay.
So, yeah, Pipeworks and Half Acre are two of the best breweries coming out of Chicago. Like,
Pipeworks are bigger.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. It's good stuff, and they make some really fantastic IPAs. So if you're a hophead, they've got some good shit. I will be honest; not all their beers are hits.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot. They make a lot of beers that it's like they're. I don't know if they're one and dones, but like we'll throw this out here. We'll see what happens.
Because they do some pretty bizarre stuff.
They do.
So
they've got their Abduction series, which is their stout, and they'll do like. Pistachio variation, cherry truffle, raspberry truffle,
orange truffle,
truffle shuffle.
Really,
you know, they'll do all of those.
a lot of fruited, like dark beers, like stouts and porters. Like, that's just kind of their thing.
But the IPAs are delicious.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
if you're in the Chicago area, are you guys playing in Chicago?
Not on this tour.
Oddly,
but coming
that's
up,
odd.
I mean, I think over summer we got.
If you had been playing Chicago, you probably wouldn't be playing Bloomington. So, okay, thanks. Thanks for not playing Chicago. but yeah, so this is going to be the last beer that we drink on the show today. And I think we'll be nice. And I usually only play 3 songs on the show. But I'm going to be nice and play 4. So we're literally playing a third of Mothership on the podcast.
Cool.
So if you guys like what you hear, go buy the record. Find a record store that carries it. Order it on the website. Find it on Amazon. Do it digitally, whatever. I still like having hard copies.
Yeah.
Go find them at the show. Buy a vinyl copy there. But this last song is called Inspire the Liars, and I was told you guys just made a video for it.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. It should be out here in the next couple days. It's pretty neat. I don't want to, like, spoil it too much.
It's already out by the time.
Yeah. No, it's pretty neat. It's cool, like, real life mixed with animation.
Oh, nice.
Cool. Yeah, so like halfway through the video, it switches into animation.
And it continues the trend of the Trade by the Game with our, like,
green
kind of veiled message and not really knowing what's going on. And so you also see some of the characters from Betrayed come back and make cameos. There's one cameo I really like.
It's like the best.
So like the twins? Or
It'll be out. It's the cook.
Okay.
The tall dude.
Yeah,
he's just taking out trash in an alleyway and it just seems
So you guys are in the video as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to seeing that in a couple days. You guys can see it now by going to the Drunken Lullabies Podcast Facebook page, or go to YouTube and type in Dance Gavin Dance, and you'll find all the videos, including the older ones from past albums. Yeah, subscribe, follow them, you know.
Rise Records.
Yeah, follow Rise Records. I do. So anytime there's a new album on Rise Records, my feed blows up because they put up every individual track. So, this is Dance Gavin Dance. This is Inspire the Liars here on Drunken Lullabies. Inspire the Liars And that's the last song you're going to hear on my dime. You want to hear the rest of it, you got to go buy the album, or you have to go to Spotify and listen to it on there. And we have a Spotify playlist for Drunken Lullabies. If you guys aren't aware, I put every song featured on the show in a playlist. It gets updated every week. Follow it, and then you can just hit shuffle, and you can listen to all your favorite songs from Drunken Lullabies all in one place. I'm making it as easy as possible for these people.
Yes.
All right. Well, it is time right now. We're going to wrap things up. Nick, do you know what time it is?
Oh, I don't have the time on me.
No, I'll tell you what time it is. It's time for Picks of the Week, bitch! It is the time for us to pick the beer that we drank that we loved the most. And I always go last. I like to find out what you guys enjoyed, because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to facilitate enjoyment. You're on the road. You could be hanging out at the venue, but instead you're here at a brewery. You're drinking free beer and hopefully having a good time.
Yeah,
having
a good time? Yes, most definitely.
All right. What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is this Wild Sour Flanders Red.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was light. The flavors you did get were really pleasant. It totally different than any beer I've really ever had. Because it had that sour taste, but all the sour tastes were really good. And usually in sours,
they're not always they're not there.
Yeah, and this is like the perfect sour. So.
Fantastic. Glad to hear it. How about you?
I want to go with the same Flanders Red as well. Or it's kind of a tie, though, between the two sours. Is the other one's called the Plum?
The Plum Sour Stout.
Yeah, I like both of them.
So you just like the sours, John?
Yeah, I just like the sour flavor. I'd never had sour, first time. And immediately just liked it. I've always liked really
sour. So we like got all candy. Aladdin up in this shit.
Exactly.
And we presented a whole new world.
Yeah. I know.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for taking the carpet ride with us, buddy.
Absolutely.
Matt?
I mean, I'm totally not a copycat, but this was my pick, too, was the Flanders Red. It's just, like they said, it's a really nice sour. It's not too powerful, and mm-hmm. I've had my share of sours, and it's just, it's nice and smooth, and, you know, this one specifically might not be for a beginner, more like
the plum one, probably.
But it's a really good beer. Also, the Charisse was fantastic. It's got a real complex flavor with the bourbon at the beginning and then the cherries and whatnot towards the end. So.
Yeah. So, pop your cherry with the Plum Sour Stout, and then when you're ready for something bigger, you go with the Flanders Red.
That's what I'd say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nick?
I'm going to go, not to be biased, but I truly
do. Well, I mean, pretty much every beer we drank.
Right, exactly. It's kind of hard not to be.
Right.
I'm going with the Plum Sour Stout because there's so much going on with it, with the roastiness being a stout, the addition of fruit. And I like fruited stouts. Mm. A lot of people don't. They don't like the mixture of fruitiness and, you know, roastiness in the stout. Yeah. I do. So the fact that it's a plum stout is awesome, but I think the sour aspect too kind of brings forward like the plum character in this beer and plays off of the roastiness really well. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's definitely the Plum Sour Stout. This is like a humongous favorite of mine. So
really good. Definitely real nice.
Yep.
Well, my pick of the week, I'm trying to think if I want to pick something I haven't picked before. Cause like the Deadhead Red, that's one of my favorites. But I think I'm going to go with the Flanders Red.
Nice.
Because, like I said, it was the first sour that I ever had, and I didn't appreciate it at first. But now, when I drink it, I enjoy it. It's a whole different beer than the first time I experienced it. Like I said, I wasn't ready. And that's the thing. Anytime I talk to somebody and they're like, I tried sours, I don't like them. I'm like, don't give up hope.
Right.
Just put them on the back burner, go back, check it out. In a half a year, and see what you think then. And, you know, sometimes you're still not ready for it. And so be it. But just give it a shot.
Yeah, be open.
Did the naming of that have anything to do with Flanders, comma Ned? Or was it that not even...
No, it's just more the... That'd be awesome.
You guys will be happy to know there is a Ned Flanders tribute band, Oakley Doakley. They're a metal band. They are going to be playing on the same stage that you guys are playing on tonight in about a week and a half.
Oh, man.
They are going to be in town. Awesome. It's them and Mac Sabbath. I don't know.
Yeah, they dress up like the
Ronald McDonald.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the burglar.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oakley Doakley and Mac Sabbath will be playing at the castle. I believe it's March 12th.
How wide can that be?
Just so, yeah.
Mac Sabbath should tour with a grimace that just noshes the whole time.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for joining us today on the show. Is there anything you guys need to promote? Places for the Drunken Maniacs to check out?
No, Spotify or the Rise YouTube channel, or iTunes, or you could go out and buy the record physically.
There you go. Nice. I encourage that because I know it's because I'm older, but I like having the physical copy, whether it be vinyl or CDs.
Yeah.
I still buy CDs, and those are supposed to be obsolete and going the way of the dinosaur now, but my car does not play my vinyl, so and I don't have an auxiliary port, so
that may change in the future, maybe.
Maybe.
You're coming back to the turntable right on top of your dash.
I think Keith Moon used to have a record player in his automobiles, but you know that's because he was rich. But
and he only drove 5 miles an hour.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Right. That's hell.
But Will, John, Matt, thank you for joining us today here at Distill. Nick, thank you for being the Distill representative for this episode.
Absolutely, yeah, it was fun. It was a blast.
It was nice to get you on the show. So, all right, well, until next week, Drunken Maniacs, may your music be loud and may your beers be cold. We will see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.